Hi, this is Eileen Good for Payments.com. I'm talking to a D-Lexian today about Tripta, which is a new service that's sort of trying to be the Uber for long-distance travel. Adi, thank you for joining me today. Can you tell me a little bit about Tripta and what you do and how you're different from the normal ride-sharing service we're all used to?
Sure, absolutely. It's great to be here today. Thank you for having me. So, Tripta is a long-distance ride-sharing service. We are a marketplace for drivers and passengers to be able to find each other on trips that they already had planned, which means unlike your Ubers and Lyfts of the world that are providing services sort of in an ASAP model, in a live model where you want to go somewhere right now and some driver is going to swing by, pick you up, and take you where you want to go. We are basically leveraging existing resources, which are people that are already going somewhere in a car that they already have, and having other people join that ride so that we can do a few things. One, create a community around travel. Two, really leverage resources that we already have and reduce the number of cars on the road. And three, save on expenses and share travel expenses together. So really the main difference between us and the Uber-like services is that they are taxi or semi-professional taxi services. So what they mean to do is they are getting someone to drive you to a place that you want to go. What we are doing is we are matching people not for a ride that's happening right now. We are matching people on planned rides that are normally longer distance. Our average ride is anywhere between 100 and 300 miles. And those people are already going somewhere. So if I'm going on a business trip from New York to Boston next week and I'm going to be driving there, I might as well offer my ride out there on the Tripta platform on our marketplace and have other people that might want to travel to Boston join me.
So this is a great idea, but it's an idea that's been tried. Before Lyft was Lyft, they were trying to make the long-distance car service work, and they found that business model very difficult. So, and they eventually went to sort of more traditional ride-sharing. What can you do differently that, you know, that Lyft couldn't do?
So I think there's a few things that, you know, I believe will help us be successful here. Lyft used to be Zimride. This is back, you know, 4 years ago, started in 2010, where Lyft tried or Zimride tried to do something similar to what we're doing. But for the first couple of years, they were really focused on a B2B model. They were trying to sell their services to very specific communities, universities, corporations. And they gained some good organic traction that way. And I think they've been doing fairly well. At some point, they tried to do this on a consumer basis. But they really only tried this for a very short time. They were sort of tired of that model, and somewhere along the way when they were trying to do this on a consumer base, they found the Lyft model, which is the you know, real-time ride sharing that we are seeing with them today, and they sort of pivoted to that, and that proved to be very successful. So I think there were a few reasons why, you know, I can't say that they haven't been successful, but there's a few reasons why they're not doing this anymore. Is one that they found, you know, this winning horse that is currently Lyft, and they're doing it and it's working for them, and that's great. The second thing is that this was quite a few years ago. What we've been seeing with the sharing economy in the United States in the past few years, I think, has really opened the door to services like ours to be a lot more popular and a lot more accepted for Americans, which I don't believe used to be the case. I think it used to be, you know, nobody thought a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, that people will be opening up their homes for, you know, strangers to be staying in their homes in the Airbnb model, or if you look at couch surfing or other similar sharing economy companies, you see those things have really, the evolution of the sharing economy over the past few years has really opened the door for us to be doing what we're doing now and to be successful, which I really don't believe this was the case a few years ago when Zimride was doing what they've been doing. So the combination of the fact that they were really focused on a B2B model and they've, you know, it was kind of before the time where I think adaptation of this would be so popular. I think these are the reasons why today we would be successful. If you look at the sharing economy today, you can see companies similar to what we're doing, very, very successful in other regions of the world, including Europe. And I believe that it is showing how very, I guess, feasible this business model is. We are really excited to be doing this here. We are really big believers in the sharing economy and the fact that we can, you know, contribute to, one, solving a problem of travel to a lot of people, and two, you know, reducing cost, and three, saving the earth while we're at it. So I think now is really the right time for us, the right environment to be really, really successful.
All right. And I'm all for saving the planet and success. I just have one question. So if I want to use your service, to put this as bluntly as possible, how do I know I'm not getting a ride from a serial killer, or that I'm not giving a ride to a serial killer?
So first I'll answer that with a question, right? If you're using Airbnb or you're using any of these dating apps that are out there, how do you know that you're not meeting up with, you know, the wrong person? I think the social media tools are giving us a lot of opportunity to get to know the person that we are about to meet with, or, you know, host or whatever, before we actually do it. One of the things that we do is that we let you research that person before you get into the car with them. So you have, you know, we allow multiple pieces of information on the platform. People log in with their Facebook account. You have visibility as to how many friends they have. You can actually talk to them and chat with them and have some messages, you know, like exchange messages with them before you even book that ride. You can look at the community reviews and ratings that they've gotten from other users for past travels or past rides that they've done with us. So all of these things are giving you a much better sense of, you know, getting to know the person that you are getting into that car with, or the person that you're picking up. Two other things. One, we have a ladies-only option that for both cultural, religious, and, you know, some peace of mind reasons, we created an option for women to really to define in their rides that they only want to travel with other women. So the system is limiting those rides to other women. That's one thing. And an additional thing that we're doing now that is in the works and should be available, like, really within a few days, is we're adding community badges. What those things are is basically, if you are associated with a certain, say, university or a certain commercial company, and your email address that you have confirmed on our system is associated with, say, Cornell University, then that badge is going to appear in your profile. So if you're a Cornell University community member, you can see that the person you're taking the ride with is also a community member from the same community, which also helps you kind of make the right decision. So really our goal is to give you as many tools as possible to make the right decision about which one of the rides that we are are offered on our platform is the one that you want to take.
All right. Now, you are not launched in the United States yet. I know you're launched globally, and you're unusual because you're working with Rocket out of Germany, and they're sort of known for taking business models that have been established in some way in the U.S. and sort of building them out for different markets. But you're working with Rocket to launch in the U.S. and sort of bring a new thing. So what's that like? What is the gear up for the U.S. launch like? I imagine it's a somewhat different market than what you've been working in.
So really, you know, working with Rocket is awesome because you get, as an entrepreneur, you get really a lot of resources that you can leverage, a lot of collective experience, and some really smart people that have quite a lot of knowledge and, you know, experience and abilities to contribute. So to me, it's really a wonderful thing. Yes, Rocket is less known for launching things in the United States. We actually did launch our beta, our pilot version of our platform late last week. So we are targeting the Thanksgiving traffic, and we're hoping to see a lot of traction. It's really, really exciting to us to see this, kind of happening here. We did launch in other countries first. The United States was always a very, pivotal focus of our strategy. The reason that we're just launching it now is that it's taking a longer time than other countries to prepare for. You know, so we've been working on that preparation for quite a while. So really our idea was kind of born I met my my co-founder Joe at a sharing economy event, and we met a few investors there and discussed the idea of this type of ride sharing, and heard through the grapevine that Rocket was looking into something similar out of Brazil. We contacted Rocket, pitched them the idea, and they put us together with who ended up being our other two co-founders out of Sao Paulo, Brazil, that are that really wanted to do this over there. So we kind of joined hands together. Rocket gave the blessing and the funding, and we started this out. So the first country launched was the first operation launch was in Brazil in this past May, and ever since we are now live in 10 other countries across Latin America and Asia.
Wow. So what have you learned? You are live in 10 countries. What lessons learned do you take to the U.S. launch? What surprised you? What turned out the way you expected? What do you know better now today than you knew in May?
So I think the fun part is that we've really only had, and I think we're very lucky, we've really only had good surprises, right? You know, we've had a lot more interest and really positive feedback from everyone around us, whether it's in the States and outside of the States, from users and from investors. And we have a lot of interest here in the United States from a couple of tier one US-based venture capitals for our next funding round. And we've learned some interesting things about sort of the patterns of travel of people. It's really interesting to see how organically sort of routes are being created by themselves because people want to travel between two points that you may not have suspected those would be like your main points. But really, we didn't have any bad surprises. I think everything that we've learned are all great lessons. We are improving our platform and our software and our services all the time based on actual feedback that we get from users. We take every single bit of feedback very seriously. We do work pretty fast to try to get things out there. And I think seeing the traction that we've gained and the positive feedback that we've had from multiple areas of the world has been very encouraging. The success of a similar model in Europe has also been very encouraging, and it's really proving to us that this model is a viable business, significant business opportunity in and outside of the United States.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. I will let you possibly grab some dinner and get some rest. Thank you very much for talking to us today, and promise you'll talk to us again after that next funding round.
Thank you so much for having me, and I promise to keep you in the know as soon as we have something.